So first, a general remark. We all know that a photon carries a definite amount of energy. And if this energy is more than twice the electron mass, then a real electron-positron pair creation becomes possible. Such fields are called Schwinger fields or supercritical fields, and a real electron-positron pair creation is completely agrees with the energy conservation law. So how can we achieve such fields experimentally? First of all, in heavy ion collisions. For example, in the collision of uranium nuclei, a giant combined nucleus is assumed to be formed for a short period of time, and its charge number is 184. The electric field of such a nucleus is extremely strong, and it is supercritical. So, according to the theory, it must give rise to the electron-positron pair creation from the vacuum. And hence, in the positron kinetic energy spectra of such collisions, we should expect the appearance of definite line structures, very narrow lines, which are not observable in other collisions of light ions, and which are caused by the spontaneous positron creation from the vacuum. But unfortunately, such a picture hasn't been observed in heavy ion collisions, and the question is why. Maybe our theory is not completely consistent, or this experiment doesn't allow to observe this phenomenon at all. And this will be the discussion of this question will be one of the main aims of my present talk, and another aim of my talk is to represent a new approach to solve this problem and to describe the results we have obtained with this approach. So let's start with the standard theory. To describe the electron-positron pair creation in the field of a supercritical nucleus, it uses the Dirac equation with the Coulomb potential of the central nucleus. If the charge of a nucleus is not very high, then the solution of the Dirac equation represents two energy continua, the positive and the negative one, which correspond to electrons and to positrons. These continua are separated by an energy gap containing discrete energy levels of bound electrons. There is also the so-called critical value of the nuclear charge at which the lowest electron energy level almost coincides with the negative energy continuum boundary. If we further increase the charge of the nucleus, this lowest level embeds into the continuum. It dives. And it has been shown by Greiner and colleagues that in this case, the bound state level becomes an energy distribution, and it isn't a discrete level anymore. If we talk in the terms of the Dirac Hall theory, then this state embedded into the lower continuum represents a vacancy in the Dirac sea. And if it is not occupied by an electron, it may be occupied spontaneously by an electron from the Dirac sea, and in this process a hole is left. This corresponds to the real electron-positron pair creation, and this process, as I've said before, obeys the energy conservation law, because the energy of this state is more than twice the electron rest energy, and is negative. then the kinetic energy of the positron is completely defined by this equation, and it unambiguously reflects the energy distribution of the embedded state. So this line, this narrow structure in the positron kinetic energy spectra must be of the form of this distribution. That means that our aim is to find this distribution. It has been found by it has been found by solving the Dirac equation by Greiner and colleagues, and it turned out to be of the Braid-Wigner form, of the Lorentz form. So it is a spontaneous process, and it should be of this form. And it has been shown that the width of this distribution is several kilo electron volts. This is the problem because lines of such width hasn't been found in positron kinetic energy spectrum. And another problem is that if we deal with an energy distribution, then it means that this state is unstable and decays within a certain time. The time, according to this width, is of the order of 10 to minus 90th second. And this is a very serious problem because according to the nuclear physics, the lifetime of a combined nucleus is two orders smaller. So we may conclude that such experiments don't allow at all to observe this phenomenon. But let us stop and look at the at our speculations very attentively. There are several inconsistencies in this theory. The first one is that we use the Dirac equation for description of an unstable state, but unstable states are not eigenvectors of any Hamiltonian, and so this method is not consistent. But it is acceptable and not so strict. A more serious problem is that is as follows: we want to find the time of creation of electron-positron pair from the vacuum, and for this aim, we use the Dirac equation, which describes one electron state and doesn't describe the vacuum state. And all the results we have obtained before, they refer exactly to one electron state and don't deal with the vacuum state. And the problem is that the existing theory doesn't provide us any equation which could describe the evolution of the vacuum state. So I would like to represent a new approach to solving this problem, which has been worked out by my supervisor, Professor Gainudinov, and it has been applied to many problems very successfully. I will not talk much about this approach. I will only say that it is based on two basic principles of quantum theory, Feynman superposition principle, and postulate that the states of a quantum system are described by vectors on a Hilbert space. And starting from these two very fundamental principles, two coupled equations may be derived for the operators M and C. The operator M describes the interaction between the particles, and the C operator describes free particles interacting with the vacuum, so dressed particles. The matrix elements of this operator describe the energy of the interaction with the vacuum. We have applied this approach to find the energy distribution of one electron bound state in the field of the supercritical nucleus. And these equations look like this for this concrete problem. we have solved them, and we have solved them, and we have obtained also the Lorentz distribution Breit-Wigner form with a width of several kiloelectron volts. So we have reproduced the results obtained by the standard theory. But I want to note here once again that these results refer to one electron state and they don't deal with the vacuum state. And now let's turn to the definition of the lifetime of the vacuum state in the field of a supercritical nucleus. For this purpose, we have to write down this equation again for the C operator, which will describe the interaction of a bare nucleus with the vacuum. The boundary condition for this equation is as follows, where the interaction Hamiltonian is the ordinary interaction Hamiltonian in quantum electrodynamics. And we need to find the matrix elements of this operator on the states containing only the bare nuclear and Coulomb photon of this produced of this nucleus. We will use the free green operator in the Fourier picture. That means that we include the interaction of electrons and positrons with the nucleus into this green operator. This equation will get the following form, and to solve it we need to find these matrix elements of the Hamiltonian. They may be found with the help of the Feynman diagrams, and using the Feynman rules they may be written down very easily. But the solution of this equation requires numerical methods, and we are just in process of solving it numerically. Nevertheless, already at this stage, we can estimate the lifetime of the unstable vacuum in the field of a supercritical nucleus. The energy distribution of unstable vacuum in the supercritical field will be defined using this function C according to this formula. Our numerical analysis of the generalized dynamical equation, which I have shown above, showed that this function will have a real and imaginary part, and this is the first point. And the second point is that the energy of the interaction with the vacuum will be of the order of electron rest energy, what means that the time of the vacuum decay in the supercritical field will be of the order 10 to minus 21st second, what is in a much better agreement with the predictions of the nuclear physics. And the conclusion of my work, a strict analysis shows that there are inconsistencies in the standard approach to solving the problem of stable vacuum decay and bound electron states in the field of a superheavy nuclei. The first point is that the bound electron states are described by the energy distribution, hence they are unstable and cannot be defined as eigenvectors of any Hamiltonian. And the second point is that the Dirac equation describes exactly the properties of one electron state in the field of a nucleus and doesn't deal with the properties of the vacuum. Our approach allows us to describe consistently the process of the vacuum decay in the supercritical field, and the estimation of the stable vacuum lifetime based on our approach are in a better agreement with the nuclear physics estimation of the combined nucleus lifetime. But here one new problem arises, that the lines in positron kinetic energy spectra will be very, very broad, and they will join to the background, and it will be a big experimental problem to resolve these lines on the background, which is always observed. So thank you for your attention.
Great, time for questions. Any questions? Can you remind us maybe more precisely of what where the experiments actually stand compared to your result? You say it'll be much harder, but how close are people?
The experiments were set 10 years ago, and they showed that no such structures are observed, and the problem was forgotten because maybe it is not correct, and there will be no pair creation. But soon new experiments in laser field will come, and laser fields of very high intensity will be achievable in laboratory, and pair creation may be possible in laser fields. And so it inspired us to come back to this problem and to investigate it again. And as I've said, our prediction is that these lines will be not narrow, as has been thought before, but very bright. And there is also background, also very bright. And we have to resolve them. And it will be useful, this investigation, because new experiments in heavy ion collisions